And when I'm talking about being blessed, I'm talking about being blessed to the point where you don't even think or even ask God to do anything because you've already had it done for you and you believe that. I'm talking about blessed. I'm not even talking about like later in life. I'm talking about in the beginnings. People deal with stuff I have no concept. I had no clue. I had no idea that people were going through things. I heard about it, but I found humor in mine and I just dealt with it. I don't know what it's like to have self-esteem. I've been good looking my whole life. I'm serious. I might not be up there with Denzel, but I sure ain't going to be in the bottom 100. You understand what I'm saying? I've had a girlfriend since I was in first grade. As a matter of fact, I was in the first grade. I had Jackie Dixon, Gene Jacobs, and Robin Harris. And all of my girlfriends, we were in the same class. See, that's how good looking I was to them, that I could have three in the same class. I know some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about because you look at yourself, you don't feel the way I feel. But see, I realized that it came from the inside for me. But I've been blessed. I haven't done nothing. I'm telling you, I haven't worked hard my whole life. The hardest job I ever had was working in the car wash. The hardest job I ever had, washing, drying cars every day when they came through the line. That's the hardest job I ever had. I haven't done anything. I was in the military for 6 years. I didn't do nothing. I went into private, came out of private. It wasn't hard to me. I didn't apply myself. I got whatever rank they wanted to give me, but I did not work to obtain any rank. Matter of fact, I had more awards than I had rank. So what I'm trying to tell you is I've been blessed my whole life. I don't have no problems. I didn't have no problems. I've been doing comedy for 20 years, and I don't know what it's like to get up and go to a job I hate. I don't always like to get a little bit of money for all the work they want me to do. I don't know what that's like. I don't. Sometimes I go out, I make $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. I don't know what it's like to have an income tax return because I've made so much money in my career. I always pay every year. I don't know what people go through. I remember sitting in church and hear people say, you either in a storm or going through a storm or coming out of a storm. I ain't never had no problems like that. Well, I don't know about y'all, but my life has been good. I've had fun. I've had new cars. I got a big house. I live on a golf course. You got problems? You got problems? I mean, do you need to talk to God? Because I don't need to talk to God. I don't need to talk to God. Matter of fact, God is a footnote in my plan. I know I say I serve him, and I know I say I know him, and I live, and I profess him. But to be honest with y'all, I ain't really, me and God, you know, hey, I get to him when I get to him. I'm just being serious. I know some of y'all talk to God every day. I'm just saying, me, I have been blessed so long, I didn't pay no attention to what was in this book. Oh, I carried the book around with me. Oh, the book is at my house. And when somebody asked me, do I know anything about it? I would tell them what I knew, but I ain't studying this and meditating on this day and night. I ain't got no problems. So the reason why I don't have to really get to know God intimately is because I don't have no problems. My life has been good. I got healthy children. I got a good looking wife. I don't have no problem. I ain't struggling for nothing. I don't know what it's like to be on Section 8. I don't know what it's like to have government cheese. Matter of fact, I went to the store one time to buy something, and my daughter, who lives with her mother, she said, Daddy, how you gonna pay for that when you don't have no stamps? I said, child, don't talk. I got money. See, just be quiet. Because I don't know what that's like. But she knew, but I didn't know what that was like. I'm telling y'all, I don't have no problems. I'm just living life. I'm enjoying life. Each day I wake up, I don't even say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. I just knew he was going to wake me up. What I got to say thank you to God for when he's been waking me up so many days that I just forgot to thank him for just this day. Then when I looked around, my family at that particular time was all alive. My mother, my father, my grandparents, all my cousins. I had never been to no funeral. I don't know what it's like to deal with death. What I got to do? I got no problems. I feel good about my situation. I feel good about my life. I feel good about what I'm doing, where I'm going. And God is in there somewhere whenever I decide to bring him to the forefront. That's just me. Now, I know y'all not like that because this is a Bible-believing church, and y'all get up every day and you thank God for that day and you pray for every food you get and you read your scripture at lunch and you ain't gossiping with nobody in your job. I know that ain't y'all, but I'm just saying me. Some people pray when they get on a plane, Lord, let the plane go up and come down safely. I ain't praying about no plane because I'm on the plane. I ain't got no problems. No situation in my life I can't handle. I can do it all. I can do it all. I can do everything. Why? Because God has given it to me, but I ain't giving God no credit for it. I'm taking all this credit myself. Rodney Johnson, that's right. According to Rodney Johnson ideology, he is all right. And then 2004 came. 2004, like any other year, I performed New Year's Eve at a church. We bought it in. They gave me some money. I went home. I put it in the bank. I did what I normally did. Went on about my business. This particular New Year's Eve, I'm in South Carolina. And the preacher says, the only good thing I'm going to say about 2004 is that if I live another 30 minutes, God will allow me to see 2005. 2004 has been the worst year in my ministry of pastoring people. It is the most treacherous year I've ever gone through. And I don't know anybody that can say anything good about 2004. And I looked at my wife and said, you know what, honey? He right. 2004 was treacherous for us. My stepson moved in with his grandmother, and my daughter was acting crazy, and my kids were acting crazy, and my wife was acting crazy, and I didn't think I was crazy. It's all of them. Because I'm standing on my own principles, my own ideology, and I am getting through this the best way I know how. Why? Because I had been blessed so long, and I hadn't really been in this word at all. So I looked at my wife. I said, honey, we got to go in 2005 better. So I said to my wife, we are going to fast. We're going to fast for the first week of 2005 and watch God turn all this around that we've been going through. Now, 2004 was bad as far as personal, but it really wasn't bad. So when I came in 2005, after I decided we should fast, I felt that I had rectified 2004, and now 2005, I'm going to be better than an 04. See, I did that. I suggested the fast, and we're going into 2005 better. So you know what? I ain't worrying about it. And in 2004, it really wasn't that bad. I don't know why Christians always talk about God delivering me and bringing me through. You got to help me. Why? All you got to do is just keep moving forward. And 2004 is gone, and 05 is better, and I feel good. And 2005 can't be bad. You know what? Come on. Can't be bad. 04 was okay. See, when hurricanes hit, they put them in categories. Sometimes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. When they get to 5, it's over. Katrina was a 5. It hit at a 3, it intensified to a 5, and you saw all the devastation from a category 5. Well, my life in 2005 was about to go to a category 7, to the second power. That's an algebraic equation joke, meaning 7 times 7. Now, all of a sudden, my life is about to turn into a place I can't even comprehend. Things about to happen in my life that I wasn't even prepared for. Matter of fact, when the flood had came, if I had been in this book, I would have been able to weather the storm. But since I wasn't in this book, I didn't know what to do. See, 2005 became treacherous. Why? Because all of a sudden, my wife, who I had taken care of for the last 12 years, told me she wanted to be independent. And I said, honey, you are independent. She said, nah, independent of you. She said, oh, I want to go out there and prove to myself that I can make it and live on my own by myself. I said, well, why would you want to do that when you got a husband that's doing that? She said, exactly. I don't want you to do that. For some strange reason, something got into her head that she needed to be independent of me. Now, you can call it whatever you want. And you can ask her, because I'm not going to really go into it, because I don't really know what she's going through. Just like when you're going through stuff, we don't know. You say one thing, because on the outside, you look good. But on the inside, you messed up. So therefore, I said, well, whatever your situation is, you handle it. Then all of a sudden, the kids started going in different directions. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Who raised you and what table did you eat from? Because I didn't serve that type of meal. And I said, well, Lord, what's going on over here? Wait a minute. See, now I'm calling on the Lord. See, you really call on the Lord when you're going through something. That's when you need to know somebody. But when you riding high, you ain't thinking about the Lord. Don't act like you are. You ain't. You got plenty of money in the bank. You ain't worrying about no bills. But when you ain't got no money, can't nobody help you, you called on the Lord. So I said, Lord, what is the problem? I got the kids going over here. I got the wife going over here. Then all of a sudden, you remember all those funerals I didn't go to? Oh, I started going to them, man, almost monthly. My father went out of here. My grandmother, my grandfather, 2 cousins, my best friend, went to so many funerals. I asked them to give me a frequent burial card. We bury 5, give us 1 free. Why? Because we had been there so much. But still, Rodney Johnson ain't ready to submit to the only authority that he's supposed to be submitting to. Oh, no, because I have been doing this so long on my own that I decided it ain't time yet. So God said, well, let me remove everything around you that you know. I had cars. I had Range Rovers, BMWs, Mercedes, six-bedroom house, golf course, country club membership. And one morning I woke up, gone. Cars were taken out of there one by one. Membership was in decline. House was in foreclosure. Wife was on the other side of the town. And kids are doing whatever it is they thought they was big enough to do. And now I'm sitting in my basement of my house, the only room with furniture, listening to Charlie Wilson. Because I don't want to hear no Christian ads. I don't want to hear nothing about the Canton spiritual. I don't want to hear nothing about what God can do. Can he work it out? No, he ain't working this out. You ain't working this out, God. You're supposed to be God. Work it out. He said, oh, now I got your attention. Oh, now you call me God. First you called me Rodney Johnson, but now you call me God. What can I do for you this day? I said, well, the first thing you can do for me, God, if you be the God that you say you are, can you please tell me why, after all I've done for my wife and these children, how come they treat me the way they treat me? And my God looked at me and said, because you wanted to be me, so I'll allow them to treat you the way they treat me. Let me say that to you again. Since you wanted to be me, and I was a footnote in Rodney Johnson's plan, you want to know how come they're not receiving you and walking with you and understanding what you're doing. So what I'm trying to tell you is, since you want to be me, you got to take all the blows that I take. See, you couldn't wake nobody up. I did. But since you thought because the alarm clock went into your room first, you woke everybody else up, it was by your power that they got up. I'm here to tell you that that's what the problem is. See, the problem, it ain't you. It ain't you. It's me doing it through you to bless them. So since you want to be me, I'm going to let them treat you the way they treat me. And I said, well, Lord, how can it be? He said, simple. How do you think my son felt? All that he did for you, and what do you do for him? Let me say that to you again. All that he did, and what do you do for him? And I said, Lord, I ain't nowhere near like your son, because I ain't dying for none of y'all. Oh, I'll show up at the funeral. I'll carry your casket. But he died for you. And so when I went through all of this, I realized my situation wasn't that bad. My problem was I wasn't in this book. So today, my sermon title is just simply first. First. That's all I'm going to talk about. First. I had to do all that setup to get you to first. What it is about our country and first. We want to be first. We get excited about first. No matter what it is, we get excited. Oh, no matter, I don't care if you're the first child to graduate from college or your family. It's an exciting time. Everybody come around because you were first. We always remember first. We don't pay attention to second or third. First, you can do all the great things in the world and you make one mistake and that's the one they remember. But we remember first. No matter where you go, it's a first. You know, when the child is first born, there's an excitement. Who's the firstborn in the family? There's a birthright. There's an order to it. First time a child takes some steps, you get excited. Oh, he learned how to walk in 12 months. And you get excited about the first step. You get excited about the first words. You always remember first, like it's the first time. It's right there. Roberta Flack said, the first time ever I saw his face, I felt the earth move. He must have been a good looking dude. But she remembered the first. We remember our first sermons. We remember our first everything. We remember the first time we saw somebody that we fell in love with. And they can always remember first like it was yesterday. But we're just talking about first. We get excited about first. We do things to be first. When the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl, they were first in the world. They were the number one football team. And people were excited. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to promote it and be there. They wanted to be a part of the first championship. We get excited about first. And sometimes to be first, it requires you to do some things that are not healthy. Athletes want to be the best, so they take drugs, they take steroids to increase their strength and their speed to be first. Because in our country, we put so much on first. So here it is that you would go through all of this to be first, just to be the first person to say, you cheat, you lie, you steal, to be first. And nobody is exempt. Parents do it for their kids. Kids do it to other kids. I remember this Hannah Montana. They had an essay. And if you came in first place with the best essay, you could go to the concert for free. So this mother told her daughter to lie about the father dying in the war. And they wrote an essay and she won the tickets. Come to find out, he wasn't dead. But they cheated to be first. Because we put a lot of emphasis in our lives to be first. Enron inflated their profits to show profitability for a company that was not even making enough money. But they wanted to be first. They wanted their stocks to go up. They wanted the revenues to come in. They wanted to be the number one company. So they did that to be first. We do anything to be first. We like being first. And if your child does something, you're the first one to tell them. My child did this. Even children want to be first. He hit me first. You understand? First is in our language. First is a part of who we are. We are built on being first, and we will do anything to be first. I wanted to be first. I wanted to be first in my class. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that. And if you get the title, you're excited about it, and you prance around with it. I am first. I am this. I am all of that. To be first. You don't care what it's going to take to be first. So all I'm going to talk about today, I'm just talking about first. I ain't talking about nothing. I ain't talking about second. This ain't even a complicated sermon. This is just a sermon about first. This is the first Sunday. The first Sunday of the month. God says, often as you do this, you remember me first. Even in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, they had one that was first. Have no other God before me. That was first. God did things in order first. In the beginning, he created the heaven and earth first. He didn't create man. He created in order the heaven and earth first. Then man came along later, but he came, but he wasn't first. Then even in the relationship, God created man first. First, he created man. See, there's something symbolic about one. And if you deal with one, we can get a whole lot of this church stuff together. See, the church is messed up because we don't understand the order that God set for us. He set a oneness for us to be one. To be one. It's very simple. Man and woman come together, they become one. That's it. That's it. One. One. One divided by one, one. Anything divided by itself is still itself. Problem is, that's your husband, and this is my wife, and they ain't one because he won with his daughter, she won with her son. That's conflict. That's why the house is divided, and it's just a matter of time of when it will fall, because it's going to fall. So you got to have a oneness. That's why God said, hey, one, he did thing first. First. This is first. Not second. Not third. First. And that's all I'm talking about. Just want to be first. And we love being first. Until it comes to God. Then we don't want to be first. That requires too much work. See, we want the blessings. But we don't want the firstness. We ain't the first to volunteer. We ain't the first to show up when it comes to God. We ain't first. When it comes to God, God just ain't first. It's only 52 Sundays in a year. You would think that you can make at least 51 of them. But for some reason, you got other things to do first. Other ministries need your help and your participation, but you got to do this first. We can't come here on Saturday because Saturday is my day, because that's the only day I got. But your day ain't your day. If you say, you know, the God is in this book, I mean, I'm just saying, because everything that God in this book does, he did first. He sent his first son for you. Not his second or his third. He sent the only son for you. But you don't make God first. I ain't mad at you because I didn't make him first either. I made myself first. But when you depend on you, you're going to fail. When you depend on each other, hey, y'all might let each other down, but God will never let you down because you are first. You are first. You are number one. I don't care where you go in the world. God got his eye on you because you first. It's about you. You first. So why, when it comes to God, we don't make him first? It's always about what's on our agenda, what's on our plate, where we got to go, what we got to do. You ain't got no business if you don't start with God's business. I mean, you think because you showed up here today, you did God a favor? You ain't doing nothing but sitting in the pew. That's all you're doing. See, you know, let me tell you something. See, y'all are just like me, but you ain't going to admit it to yourself. Hey, God didn't use me. I was using God. Think about that. We use us. How many times you ask God to do this, and this for you, and you did nothing for him but thank him if he did it? See, we don't be you. We're not here to be used by God. We're not here to be used by God. We're here to use God. All the teaching and preaching y'all got in this church in Mount Moriah, and yet you still don't grow past the doors of this church? Because you're not taking advantage of what you're learning. You're not really applying this. Because if you was applying this, when you went to work, they would want to know what church you go to. People on your street would want to know what church you go to. But no, we keep it to ourselves because God is not first. We first. Our agenda, our plan, what we doing, what we got to do, where we got to go, who we need to see, where we need to be, what is it that we want. We ain't concerned about what others need. We say we are. I heard the woman up here pleading for some people to come out for a clothing ministry. They need you there because you're one garment away from being in the line. Oh, how do I know? Because I had money. Oh, I had money. Yeah, I had money. Oh, I had money. But guess what? I went from money to $250,000 in debt. What? That's $250,000 if you can't bring that together. To now I'm down to about $90,000 because God been dealing with me. Because when I was going through my lowest point, the first thing I did was stop tithing. How can I get God some money when I got all these bills? And then I realized where my mistake was because it wasn't my money. It was God's money he was blessing me to have to handle my situation. So how can I cut him out first? I should have cut out the car note first. But no, I didn't want to do that because that would have made me look bad on the outside. But I got to worry about the inside now. See, you got to go back and fix up the inside first. Forget how you look on the outside. You got your nice little suits on. You can look good on the outside and have cancer killing you on the inside. Because you're not dealing with it first. Let's deal with it first. Let's deal with the facts first. What do we need to do at this church for God first? And how do we get there? I'm going to tell you how you get there. It's very simple. And I didn't even know I had to go through all that I went through to get to this point. I'm telling you, when life is good, you don't pay attention to nothing else. The moment they tell you that you got cancer, you will go outside and put your feet in the grass and feel how good grass is under your feet. But as long as you're healthy and you got good looking shoes, you ain't taking your shoes off to touch the grass. I'm telling you that before you get into this situation, you got to understand God first. First, the God that you say you serve. So now you're saying, well, how can you be in the situation you in if you said you knew God? I did know God, but I wasn't meditating on this day and night. Oh, no, that wasn't what Rodney Johnson was doing. Rodney Johnson had other things to do in his day. He had to travel. He had to make phone calls. He had to do other things that were more important than serving God first. So when my flood came, and my flood came, I ain't talking about no levee, okay? My levee was bursting. It was water coming out. I was crying. I was crying so much, even my friends would come to my house, and they'd be crying, and hey, did you came around me. If I just looked at me, you started crying. I started losing weight. Why? Because I didn't know this book. I didn't know nothing in this book that was going to get me through my situation until I found this scripture. And when I saw this scripture, I said, that's what the problem is in church today. So my scripture very simply, folks, today is Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse. And it just says simply, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Oh, this is very simple. All I got to do is seek you first, God. That's right, in my kingdom, and God in his righteousness shall make all things added unto you. So I didn't have to worry about my wife, because all I had to do was seek God. I didn't have to worry about my children. All I had to do was seek God. I couldn't call my mama because she was going through her situation. My daddy was dead. The pastor in my church had left. Nobody to talk to, but all I had to do was connect with the God and say, I got your back. I sent my only son to die for you. All you got to do is plug in. All you got to do is get in my word and meditate it on day and night. But now I'm looking for all my help from people around me who were messed up just like me. Then when I realized if I got the oil heart is straight, seeking him, everything else would be made perfectly fine in my life. I don't know about your life, but in my life. So as I sat at my desk that day, I said, hey, man, all I got to do is look to the hills from which cometh my help, because my help coming from him. See, when I was in my abyss, then nobody could talk to me. When I was riding high, everybody wanted to touch me. But when I got low, the money was gone, the cars were gone, and I was on my way to living with you. You turned your back on me. But I'm here to tell you, God said, I got a place for you. But all you got to do is get on your knees and ask me, and I'll fix it up for you. So I ain't worrying about who stay or who go. I'm with God to the end. See, now I understand that, sir, that stuff about the joy on the inside. The world can't give it, nor can it take it away. I got that joy, and I don't care who with me. The wife can leave, the kids can go crazy, but as long as Jesus is here, I'm all right.